This is Avraham Moshe. He is a member of the Kollel here in Yeshiva and a certified Shofet and Shaita instructor who has been around to quite a few Yeshivos in his time. He has a lot to share with us today, and our next experience is starting today with knife sharpening. Just going to get the sheet on the board and you can start now whenever you're ready.
Amazing. Rishos HaRav Javairi, Mura Verabosa. So my name is Avraham Moshe. I'm in my second year of Smicha at Ritz. At the age of 17, for some reason, I decided that I wanted to learn how to kill things, for some weird reason. So at the time, I was learning with Moreinu HaRav Ben Chaim, or Shishiva Yeshiva University, who taught me and trained me on Hilcha Shechita and the practical practice of Shechita. I was certified for the slaughter of both poultry and large animals by HaRav Ben Chaim. I furthered this learning by spending time with experts in the field of Shechita, the well-known HaRav Shlomo Machbud, as you may be familiar, who heads a well-known Israeli kashrus agency, as well as Rabbi Beryl Friedman, who is the shochet of the Brisker Rav, as well as many other professional shochtim and botkei sakinim who are experts in shechita knife sharpening. When people think of a shochet, what comes to mind? Well, what's a shochet? How does a shochet look like? So we usually think of this bearded, muscular fellow out in Iowa, with a white apron that's bloody, knocking off heads. Think of a shochet. So what are we, yeshiva students, why are we studying the practical aspects of shechita? So the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, teaches, Amar Yehuda Marav, Talmud Chacham Tzarech Shilmad Gimel Dvarim. Talmud Chacham must learn three areas of practical halacha. One of those three things are shechita. Rashi comments that shechita does not only mean learning the halachas of shechita, the laws of shechita. It also includes being skilled on the hands-on element. This includes knowing how to do all the necessary preparations for a proper shechita, which is primarily the skill of being able to craft an appropriate knife for shechita. The Rashba calls it an umnas. He calls it a skill. It's a skill of knowing how to craft an appropriate knife. Today I would like to give a brief overview of the shechita knife, which will include two matters. The first are the three names we find in Tanakh for the shechita knife. From these names, we will learn many laws and ideas in regards to the shechita knife, and also about the slaughter itself. The second is the requirement regarding the sharpness of the knife. How sharp does the knife have to be? And how to manipulate the materials in order to get the desired effect. Different stones are used to achieve different effects on the knife, and it is kedai to have an in-depth understanding before beginning to employ them to sharpen a shechita knife. So let's talk about the three names we find for shechita knife. Analyzing these terms, we said, will serve as a nice introduction. So the first name for a shechita knife, anyone know? It was 2 weeks ago in Parshas Shavua by the Akedah, the Ma'achelas. Ma'achelas, right? By Abraham, he took in a Ma'achelas to slaughter his son Yitzchak. So why is it called a Ma'achelas? Now the Shrava asks, Lo manikro shemo Ma'achelas. Why is a shechita knife called a Ma'achelas? Mipnei shehi machsheres ochel. Because it prepares meat for consumption. Ma'achelas. It prepares and it makes meat fit for consumption. The second name we find for the shechita knife is a chalef. Ches lamed pei. This appears in Sefer Ezra in regards to the shechita knife found in the Beis HaMikdash. So one explanation offered for this name is that the knife is chalef. It passes over the stone back and forth. So you pass it. That's called a chalef. It passes. That's how we sharpen, as we'll soon discuss. And a third and a well-known name for knives, it's a general name in Lashon HaKodesh for all knives, is saken. As you probably know, this comes from the Lashon of sakana, danger, to hint at the caution one must take while handling a knife. As our parents taught us back in the day, right? Safety first. You have to be very careful in handling any knife, especially a shechita knife. Indeed, Chazal also warned us about this. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ki alecha horagnu kol hayom. It is for your sake, Hashem, that we are killed all the time. What is that supposed to mean? The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, teaches that this refers to Talmidei Chachamim Shemaran Hilchas Shechita Be'atzman. It refers to those yeshiva students who demonstrate the laws of Shechita on themselves. Rashi explains that they used to pass the blades on themselves to show the nuances of how a Shechita knife is to be used, exposing them to possible risk of injury. The Maharsha, however, gives an interesting metaphysical explanation of what sort of sakana's Gemara might be referring to. He explains this with the principle of La'ulam aliftach adam es piv la'satan. A person should never open his mouth for the satan. A person shouldn't say or do anything which hints at a danger or a misfortune, because that might cause the satan to open it, to advocate for that, to chas v'shalom happen. So you have to be careful not to show the knife over yourself. So basically, we don't tempt providence. That's what the Maharsha is teaching. There are those who've suggested, and this is for the practical aspects of this part of the course, that the Hebrew word sakin could serve as a nice acronym for four attributes necessary for proper sharpening of a shkita knife. Samach, chaf, yud, nun. Savlanus, kavana, yashrus, nikias. We'll discuss them one by one. Samach, we said, stands for savlanus. As you, if you've been to Israel, savlanut. What does savlanut mean? Patience. Like all skills, learning the skill of properly sharpening a shkita knife may be challenging and frustrating, and it will require monitored training and practice. That was the samach. Chaf stands for kavana, mindfulness. One of the five prerequisites for a kosher shkita, as you may have discussed, was ikur. What's ikur? So one of the Rishonim explains this term, that it means what happens when a shechita knife has a nick. What happens? The knife will end up tearing the organs, the trachea and the esophagus. So it won't shech. Shechita, by definition, means a smooth cut through the neck. So before shechting, we are therefore required to meticulously check the shechita knife to ensure that there are no nicks. We try to avoid ikur. So we have to do that bedika with kavana. As Rabbeinu Yonah in his Charei Tshuva writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shechita Siman Yud Ches, he says, "Tzarich lechaven eslibo b'ma'od ma'od b'dikasei." One is required to pay very great kavana, mindfulness, when checking the shechita knife. He goes on, "Halo tira kivdek adam." You can surely see that a person might check his shechita knife once or twice or even three times, and he still won't be able to notice an imperfection. And then all of a sudden he finds it. What's the difference? What's the pshat? So he says, this happens because he paid greater attention to that last inspection, and that's why he was able to find that pkima. So Shochet's ability to decide as to whether his knife is ready, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is based on his sense of touch, and that depends on the attention he pays to what he is doing. So that was the Samach, that was the Chaf. We're up to the Yud. Yud stands for Yashrus. What does Yashrus mean? It's being upright. It is crucial that the Shochet be God-fearing, because only then will he be conscientious and careful in ensuring a kosher process. Moreno Rav Ben Chaim always cautions students that come to get tested on Hilchos Shechita of the great responsibility they carry. He says, if you permit an animal that is halachically not kosher, every kezayit eaten will be on your head. So what's the average cow weight? How much is a cow weight? 1,400 pounds. So that's a lot of kezayin. That's a lot of kezayin. It holds a big responsibility. Every kezayit eaten goes on is the responsibility of the shochet that slaughtered it. So we mentioned the shechita knife. Now we'll go into this practical aspects of different stones, the wet stones. We can discuss this quickly, and then we'll have time to practice some knife sharpening together. The shechita knife may not have any nicks. We said why? Because that will tear the organs. And we must use a perfectly smooth knife that will cut through the neck easily and smoothly. So we lemaisa necessitate that the shechita knife be completely sharp and smooth. In Hebrew, chad v'chalak, smooth and sharp. So we mentioned that crafting such a knife requires a great amount of skill, technique, patience. Let's discuss how this is attained. So in sharpening a shechita knife, we use whetstones, which are stones that are used in conjunction with water. So there exists two types of whetstones, and they correspond to those of two aforementioned requirements, chad v'chalak, sharpening stones and polishing stones. They could be divided into two groups. Sharpening stones are meant to form the bevel, which is the incline you could see on the knife. That happens through the sharpening stone. And that is basically to make the knife chad, sharp. And then we have polishing stones, which are meant to be used after the bevel is formed. And their purpose is to basically make the knife completely smooth, right? We want to make a chalak, achieving like a mirror-like finish. So this is really the klal. This is the important part. You probably noticed on your whetstones that there's a number. What does that mean? So old whetstones are measured according to their grit. It's called a grit, which is a measure of how abrasive the stone is and basically the effect it will have on the material that it comes to contact with. So the lower grit stones, the lower it is, the more abrasive the stone is, and those are meant for the initial sharpening of the knife. So this stone basically scrapes off a layer of the knife's metal and enables us to create a bevel. This lays out the foundation for the knife. So like we said, this corresponds for the requirement for the knife to be chad, sharp. The higher grit stones have a smoother finish, right? Those are the higher numbers. Like for instance, this is the 8,000. It's very, very smooth, and there's even natural stones that we don't even know their number. They're so smooth. So those are basically used to perfect the knife, taking it from the rougher finish left by the lower grit stone to a reflective mirror finish. And this corresponds to the requirement of the blade to be chalak, smooth. So when we do that, we have a knife that's both chad and chalak. So let's prepare to hand out a step-by-step guide for the creation of the knife that's both chad and chalak, and we can go through it together. So we start like this. I think this will be the more sudder way of doing it if we go together. Fine. So the first part. Oh, we can just use that. Amazing. So we start on top. There's two parts of properly sharpening a knife, like we just said, right? We have to first make it sharp, then we make it smooth. So the first goal of making it sharp, we said, is to use the sharpening stones, which are the lower or higher grit stones, the lower, right? So we use, right, they're more abrasive, they scrape off the layer of the knife's edge, making it sharp. So now, what we do is, so this is the lower. Let's just use this for this knife. So we use it at a lower angle against the stone, and we're careful not to hold the knife too low or close to the stone, because then you're not going to sharpen anything. You want to have like a 15 degree angle. So we have to remember, the better the bevel, meaning the more we focus on one side, the better the knife is going to be later on, the sharper it's going to be. So, right, we have to resist the urge of constantly flipping over. So, and then we said the second part is to basically, after we're done with that and we have a knife that's nice and sharp, we'll move to a higher grit stone, which is white stone or this stone, and that will ensure that the knife will have a mirror finish, and that's that corresponds to the requirement of the knife to be chalak, totally smooth.